Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding as we together get into your word. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for continuing the good work you began in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
In this message, we're going to talk about suffering and what the Bible has to say about suffering. A man named James said this. He said, God brings men into deep waters, not to drown them, but to cleanse them. I love 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And as you know, Bible students, that 1 Peter is a book all about Jesus Christ and about suffering and how he suffered, and we also, in serving him, will suffer. And there are benefits to suffering. There are benefits that we can get nowhere else but through Christ in those sufferings, as we overcome in those sufferings, as we worship him through those sufferings. Don't murmur or whine, but worship him like Job, who said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job 13, verse 15. This is going to be a major staple or goad, a truth that you're going to want to embrace as a believer, because there will be suffering. The Bible says all, not some, but all that live or who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Also in 1 Peter 4, 1, the Bible tells us about how Christ suffered for our sins. Notice, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Notice, Christ suffered for us in the days of his flesh, as he neared and approached, and as the cross came to him, if you will, he suffered greatly, even to the point of shedding his own blood. His sweat was as drops of blood. Luke chapter 22. And so Jesus sweated blood, and he suffered with the crown of thorns, the mocking, the punching, the beatings that were given to him, the lashes from the cat of nine tails on his beloved back, leading up to his ultimate suffering for the sins of the world. He suffered death on the cross and was buried and raised again from the dead. These are some of the things Jesus suffered, and we're to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind. We are to expect suffering. We are to look forward to it, if that is possible right now in our maturity level. But as we do grow in the Lord, we're going to understand the blessing God has for us in suffering. Suffering is normal for Christians because Christ suffered. We just read that in 1 Peter 4:1. Suffering includes submitting our will to others. Suffering, we're going to read here in 1 Peter 4, reminds us that we don't belong here. We are passing through. We are strangers and pilgrims on this earth, right? Amen. This is not our home, saints, and we need to be daily reminded of that. Suffering reminds us of an eternal perspective, and suffering precedes glory. Another list of things suffering does, according to 1 Peter 4, is suffering loosens sin's grip on us, as we're going to read in these first few verses here in 1 Peter 4. Also, suffering causes others to see us differently. Verse 4 of 1 Peter 4. Suffering places us in good company, the company of the martyred. Suffering keeps us focused on eternity, and suffering frees us to participate in ministry. Amen. 1 Peter 4, again, beginning in verse 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. We should expect to suffer. Amen. Likewise, with the same mind. And you know, instead of being scared, that should cause us just to be prepared and to begin to cry out to the Lord now in a time of peace, perhaps, for God to give us grace through these sufferings. Amen. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Amen. Do you think God lets his children suffer so that they can overcome sin? Well, you better believe it. That's what we see in Scripture. Also, Romans 6:7, he that is dead, that is crucified with Christ, is freed from sin. Are you willing today to say, Lord, I know you want me sinless. You died to wash away all my sins and to give me your power over all sins in this life. And so whatever it takes, dear Lord, we ask you to bring us to it, and we know you'll bring us through it, Lord, as we trust in you to bring us through it, and as you give us your grace through it and free us from the sins that separate us from you and jeopardize our eternal soul, in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 4:2. So we suffer as Christ did, and we are blessed to cease from sin, that he no longer, that's us that have been apprehended of the Lord, we should live the rest of his time, that he no longer should live the rest of his time, that is every born again disciple, in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Amen. Lord, we want to live according to your will and perfectly please you and bear fruit to your eternal glory as we abide in you, Lord Jesus, bearing fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Amen. John 15. All right, verse 3, 1 Peter 4. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, those without God, when we were one of them, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it's strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Those that you left behind because God brought you out of the family and the kingdom of darkness into his eternal family in Christ are going to view you differently. Verse 5, who shall give account? These same people who have refused to repent shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead, or the living and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Amen. See, we are to suffer and be blessed to be caused by God to overcome all sin, verse 1 tells us. And we are especially to be blessed by this, knowing that the end of all things is at hand. Jesus is coming, saints. He's standing at the door, if you will, according to James 5. The judge standeth before the door. James 5, 9, the judge standeth before the door. Jesus is coming, and we should be praying that God would bless us with his holy fear, that he would unite our hearts to fear his name, Psalm 86, 11, and to bless us to suffer whatever it takes to overcome the sins that would otherwise spot our white garments that he gave us when he washed us from our sins in his own blood, Revelation 1, 5, and gave us the cross message so that we could be dead and buried and raised up with him, suffering the death and burial of self, so that we can experience his resurrection power, glory, and victory over all sin in this life, and move us into momentum of fruit bearing, fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, John 15. So the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Saints, are we having fervent charity among ourselves? I want to highly encourage you, beloved of God, that you read prayerfully every morning during your study of the Word of God. You perhaps finish or somewhere in that time of precious moments with the Lord, that you would read 1 Corinthians 13 and would reflect upon the cardinal importance God places on walking in love. God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. 1 John 4:8. It's a severe warning. There's a severe warning. So it should be an indicator on the dashboard of our spiritual lives, a red light flashing that tells us to repent if we're not walking in the love of God toward the saints of Christ for whom he died. Jesus gave us two commandments. He said, you shall love the Lord. Now, he gave us more than that, but he summed up the whole law and the prophets by saying, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He never told us to love ourselves. We're to take all of that energy and all of that focus and to put it on Christ as first love of our lives and on others and being a blessing to them. The scripture says in Philippians 2, 3 through 5, Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory to take glory upon ourselves, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other above or better than themselves. Think about it. When you pray for those people that you have on your list each morning, those believers, you should see yourself and even lift your hands and hearts as you're praying for them. This postures your heart and your life. It puts it in the right direction that you're existing in this life. You're recalibrated every morning to understand and to realize that Jesus died on that cross, was buried and raised again from the dead to give you new life and to make you a minister of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, and to go forth every day empowered by Him, His grace is a divine enablement and influence upon your heart to praise and worship and serve Him as you prefer others, especially believers, above yourself. Lifting them each morning in prayer will posture you to go forth into your day, beloved, serving the body of Christ, calling, emailing, doing whatever you can to wash the feet of the saints, John 13. Again, Philippians 2, 3 through 5, the mind of Christ. When we are walking in the mind of Christ, we are smack dab in the middle of the will of God. Amen. And it's stated here, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness, as opposed to high-mindedness, but in lowliness of mind, God do it in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem or elevate, edify, lift up other better than themselves. Think about that. We're not to go forth elevating ourselves. The mind of Christ is that we're crucified with Him. We're conformed to the crucified image of the Son of God, who came to not to be served, but to serve. And He sent us forth to do the same. Matthew 20 and 23. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things. See, we become so consumed with the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. And quite frankly, anyone in the throes of such is absolutely miserable. It's not till you throw off self. You say, self, you're done, you're dead, you're buried, and Jesus is going to raise you up. Amen. To praise Him, to worship Him, to obey Him, to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to go forth bearing the burdens of the saints of Christ, to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Let me stop to say this. There's nothing more of a blessing you could do other of the saints of Christ, and it's not limited to this, but it's pray for them. Take them before the throne of grace and pray that they would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And that would be Colossians 4:12. So we're talking about suffering the death of self in this message, and the great benefits. You're going to be elated with the joy of the Lord, my friend, full of the love of God as you walk in a crucified life, suffering the death of self so that the Savior can reign supreme in your life. You're going to have to get alone. I can warn you right now, if you're not already walking into cross life, and just shake your head, lift up your hands and say, God, you are so amazing, because you're going to begin to see what God's wisdom is in you walking in the crucified life and Him empowering you with His grace and raising you up to be a blessing to His saints. Amen. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Jesus got out of His world with the Father in eternity, and He came down and in heaven at the right hand of the Father. He came down into our world. Amen. He said that He is going to get out of His world and come into our world to die to save us. Amen. This is the Creator of all that is, and we are to follow Him. And if we're following Him, we're getting out of our world. We're not looking on our own things. Well, I got to do this and I got to do that. No, you know what we need to do? We need to shut up and repent, lay down our lives, deny ourselves, take up our cross, be crucified with Christ, and go forth to worship God and to be a blessing to His saints. That's what the resurrection life, that's what the life of the true disciple is all about, loving God and loving his neighbor as himself. He already loves himself. That's the problem. Anybody telling you to learn to love yourself is a fraud. They are speaking by the mouth of Satan himself. That's our biggest problem. That's why Jesus said you got to be crucified with Christ. You got to deny yourself daily. and take up your cross and follow him. And that's when the blessing of resurrection life from glory is going to be in your life, reciprocally raising you up. As you've said, Lord, my life's over. I sentence myself to death. 2 Corinthians 1:9, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. See, this is the blessing of suffering the death of self. The death of self is life, and the life of self is death, as someone has put it. So this is the benefit of suffering the death of the flesh, the iniquitous nature that wars against the Holy Spirit and your own spirit every day. And the war is going to be won when you decide that the old man is going to be put off by the crucified life every day. Colossians 3, 8 through 10. Amen. But every man also in the things of others, let this mind that he just described be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. He is the one we are following. And he suffered the death of self-will. Amen. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done in Gethsemane. And that's what place God wants to bring us to, that we cry out to him and say, Lord, not my will. Now, what does that tell you about Jesus and us? We have a will. Jesus chose to say, not my will, but Father, thy will be done. Do you think Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin? He sure was, according to the book of Hebrews. And he was tempted right there in the Garden of Gethsemane as he faced the cross to do his own will and check out right there, because he faced the most excruciating death for the sins of the world and the most excruciating pain that anyone has ever or will ever suffer. And he did it for us, saints, to reconcile us back to himself and the Father, to give us new life in him and to make us ministers of reconciliation, as we are new creatures in Christ. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, so in 1 Peter 4, we are now in verse 8 as we finish this passage, this beautiful passage. Again, the whole book of 1 Peter is all about suffering and the benefits of suffering in the Lord. So, and above all things, he says in verse 8, notice the importance God places here on charity and walking in the love that he pours into our hearts as we fellowship with him each day. Notice, and above all these things, have fervent, not only charity, but fervent charity among yourselves. Beloved, let me encourage you to pray as we should each day. Lord, help me to love you more and help me to love your body more. That's absolutely 100% biblical prayer there. We pray always according to the word, which is the will of God. And above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality. Are we being hospitable to the body of Christ, the members of the body? Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You take everything God's given you, spiritual gifts, the knowledge of the word, understanding in the word of God, anything you have physical that could help the brothers and sisters in Christ, and you be a good steward of the manifold grace of God, whereby these gifts and blessings came and come to us, that we're able to give them out. If any man speak, verse 11, let him speak as of the oracles of God. Only speak according to the word of God. If you don't have the word of God on the topic, do not speak about it, beloved. Do not do it. We must speak according to the word of God. If any, that's the oracles of God, the word, the written word. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God, not us, but God, in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And that's what, according to verse 1, the yielding of the resurrection life that comes out of suffering the death and burial of self is going to manifest. It's going to be where we are bringing glory to God and not ourselves, as we're raised up by him in the crucified life. As we die daily, he's raising us up reciprocally. See, death and burial must precede resurrection, according to verse 1. Again, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He's not about self. He's not about sin anymore. He's abandoned. He's delivered from. He's liberated from living in sin through the suffering of self. And now he's abandoned to be a blessing to God and his body. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange. Don't be surprised concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as a child of God, that is, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Notice what he's saying. He's reasoning with us, the Apostle Peter, and saying, please don't think it's strange when you suffer. Why? Well, first of all, Jesus suffered, and Jesus told his own 12, and he tells us the same. He says, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And so that's going to be Matthew 10:22. Jesus said, they have persecuted and hated me, they're going to do the same to you. John 7:7, John 15:20, etc. So don't think it's strange. Think it not strange. In other words, expect it. So in other words, say just anticipate it's going to happen. And what are we to do in those times when we're persecuted? We are to rejoice. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. Notice what Jesus says here concerning suffering. We're talking about suffering according to the Bible here and the great benefits of it. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed. Notice you're blessed when you're suffering for righteousness' sake. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Have you been slandered and lied about? Every one of us will be. Rejoice and be exceeding. This is what we're to do. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So suffering for Christ's sake and because you are his only confirms and establishes that you are his. And so that right there should be reason enough for us to rejoice and thank God for. And sometimes we have to push through on that and just raise our hands when it's happening and we're in the middle of a firestorm and just say, Lord, thank you for all you've done. Thank you for your mercy that you've had on me through the blood of your only begotten Son. And Father, I just rejoice in obedience to you for suffering for righteousness' sake during this trial, during this season. In Jesus' name, amen. And later in Matthew 5, Jesus says, but I say unto you, and see, this is what we're to do when we're persecuted. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Back to 1 Peter 4:12, but rejoice in as much as you or ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Rejoice. He says it again here. Matthew 5:10-12. And then right here, rejoice when you suffer for Christ, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, because you're one with him, that when his glory shall be revealed, here's the eternal perspective, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And that would be for all eternity. All right, verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. So many benefits to suffering. It loosens, according to 1 Peter 4, suffering loosens sin's grip on us, according to 1 Peter 4:1. Also, suffering causes others to see us differently. It places us in good company with those that are also suffering for Christ and Christ himself. Also, suffering keeps us focused on eternity, and it frees us to participate in ministry. What a blessing. All right, so notice the next chapter of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 10, says this, speaking of the benefits of suffering and how the more we suffer, the freer we become. What a blessing. Notice the breakthrough for the three Hebrew children of God came after they suffered, not before. They suffered the death of their own self-will. They were dead and buried with Christ. And so they chose to deny self instead of denying Christ. And they were thrown into the fire. And what was the only thing that they lost? Remember, they were bound hand and foot. Some of you right now are bound by something. You're in bondage to it. And God wants you to bow before him and let him put you in the fire so that he can set you free. Notice, the only thing the three Hebrew children lost when they were thrown into the fire is the things that bound them. The only thing that burned was the ropes. I believe it was ropes that bound their hands and feet. So it actually set them free. The fires of suffering are going to make us free as we worship God all the way through them. Now, that's something I personally had to learn. Maybe this would touch somebody else's heart also, and maybe they need to learn the same thing, is that I had to start learning not to murmur or say, Lord, why are you letting this happen? But to say, Lord, thank you for this. I give you glory. I'm going to praise you through this whole thing, no matter what it is in this season, like Job did. And I declare unto you by faith right now, Lord, that though you slay me, yet I am going to trust you. Learn that truth. Memorize Job 13:15. Job 13:15. All right, 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace. Oh, I love this verse. But the God of all what? Grace. All grace comes from God, who hath called us unto his eternal glory. Amen. This is an eternal relationship he died to bring us into. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after, not before, that ye have suffered a while, seasons of trials and testing and fiery trials, make you, what happens after you have suffered a while? Here it is. Make you perfect, that perfect you, that is establish, Old English without the S, establish, strengthen, settle you. Notice, settle you. Wow, what an amazing benefit of suffering. I know that from going through different seasons of unjust suffering and worshiping God through it, I now enjoy, I was definitely not well adjusted, not as much as he's made me to be now, and established in a settled, peaceful, no matter what happens. What? Don't miss that one right there. Many of you that are listening to me have been through fiery trials. God has brought you through just like he did Daniel and the three Hebrew children and all of his saints who all suffered. And they got set free by suffering, and they lost the bondage and the misery and the terror and the fear and the things in their hearts that weren't that of peace. And now they're settled. Now they're strengthened. They're perfected. They're established. And so I noticed a few years ago a natural acronym here. Notice, after that you have suffered a while, PSSS is going to happen to you. You're going to be perfected, established, strengthened, settled. Don't you love it? That's not something I made up. I'm reading straight from Scripture, but it maybe makes it a little easier for some of us to remember that after we've suffered a while, we're going to be perfected by God. That means matured. And we're going to be established in the Lord more and strengthened by the Lord and settled. Amen. What a blessing. Again, we're talking about the benefits of suffering. We should run from suffering. The Bible just said in 1 Peter 4:12 that we should never be surprised at suffering. Suffering is going to bring great blessings. And it's so, instead of me saying, why are you allowing this to happen? I've learned through these scriptures and as many more, we only have a certain amount of time to go through them. The text version of this message is going to be much more complete. You'll notice the name of this message is The More I Suffer, The Freer I Become. So just put in any of those words in the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com. Just put in freer, F-R-E-E-R. It'll come right up. And you'll see a whole lot more on this topic in this message. We're going to be perfected, saints, established, strengthened, and settled. And it's going to be worth it so much. You know, like the old Christians, the folks of old that served God, they used to say, I wouldn't give nothing for my journey, because that journey of suffering brought to them perfection in Christ, established them deeper in Christ, strengthened them in Christ, settled them, amen, in Christ. What a blessing. So I call this the PSSS secret, quote unquote secret. It's not a secret, but it's a blessing for all believers to embrace. Notice PSSS. You know how we'll say, hey, come here. Let me share something with you. And we get somebody else that we're talking to alone, and we say, hey, let me tell you a secret. You know, it's the PSS secret. It's the PSSS. It's the, hey, come here. Okay, and what does that PSSS stand for? Perfection. The perfection, the maturity, the equipping of God, the establishing or the establishing of Christ in you, the strengthening of God in you, and the settling that takes place when you suffer. Remember, it's only after that you've suffered a while that these blessings are going to be part of your life. Amen. This is going to be joy in the fire. Amen. There's so much to say on this beautiful topic, but let's go ahead and come in for a close. There's going to be joy in the fire. You think those three Hebrew children might have been dancing in that fire? What a blessing. They were being set free, weren't they? Right in the middle of the fiery trial that tried them. 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 5, notice, who are kept by the power of God through faith. See, we're kept by the power of God. God's power is his part, and he requires that you live, what? Through faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, 6, who are kept by the power of God. Notice that we're involved and engaged in this relationship too, and that's through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. And aren't you glad seasons come to pass? If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold or many faceted temptations or trials. The trial of your faith, is your faith on trial? Praise God if it is, because that means you have saving faith, without which you cannot be saved. That the trial of your faith, that only proves that you're saved, because you have faith to be tried, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, you're living by faith, there it is again, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, we can know that we're maturing with the joy of the Lord begins, and the rejoicing of the Lord, no matter what we face, begins to take its full effect in our lives. That's that resurrection grace we read about in 1 Peter 4 that's going to cause you to be set free from sin and to be ministering powerfully for the Lord. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 11. Because you're being caused to cease from sin because you're suffering in the flesh. You're saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. You must increase, but I must decrease. Let me be crucified with thee, dear Lord, and thereby raised up by you, Lord, into the full fruit-bearing victory that you have ordained me to walk in and to be a blessing to your saints. James 1, 2 through 4, but my brethren, he says, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it what? As a new believer, you're like, wow, this, I don't know about this. But then as you grow and learn some of the things we're seeing here and all the blessings God has in store for those who surrender and walk the crucified life and suffer and get set free through it, we begin to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, different kinds of temptations, knowing this, what should we know? Here it is, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. Perhaps that could coincide with perseverance. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or fully mature and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. James 1, 2 through 4. Suffering is the occasion for the Lord to purify and bring you forth as gold, according to Job 23, 10, which says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Let me read that last part again. Job 23, 12. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job said this in the middle of his trials. This is the 23rd chapter. We know of the calamities that came upon him in the first chapter, where his wife called for him to curse God and he refused. And then in the 42nd chapter, the last chapter, we see the resurrection blessing, where Job had another wife, a new wife, and the most beautiful daughters in the land, and all the cattle that he had in the first chapter is literally double in the 42nd, the last chapter of Job. It's interesting to read the bookends of Job and to see where it all started and where it ended up. He came forth as gold. God brought him forth as purified gold through all the things that he suffered, and the resurrection blessing was out of this world. Now Job is experiencing the presence of God, as he has been for thousands of years, because that's where he's at, in glory. He was raised up into eternal glory because he chose to put God first in his life, when God called him and gave him grace to follow the Lord and to walk with him. And he stayed faithful all the way through, knowing that he was going to come forth as gold through all of these sufferings and be made perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. The gospel key for you to remember and for I to remember and to employ is to continue to die down deeply, saints, to be dead and buried with Christ every day of our lives, and thereby raised up every day by his divine power to please him in abundant fruitfulness as we look for his soon return, and to learn to be grateful and verbalize our thanksgiving to the Lord, getting those hands up today to praise him and to thank him for all of his blessings. You know, I did that this weekend. I found myself just saying, Lord, thank you for every morsel of food. Thank you for your mercy that you've had on me. Thank you for every breath that you've given me to take and to sustain my physical life in this world, and every drop of water, Lord, to everything you've given us to clothe and to keep us warm and to nourish us. We give you thanks and praise. You are our exceeding great reward, according to Genesis 15:1. It's all about Jesus, the kingdom of Christ, friends, and it's all about giving him thanks and praise and worshiping and loving and obeying him, who is our exceeding great reward. Remember, saints, that your Savior suffered immensely and yet is identified as one who had more joy and gladness than any other. John 15:11 and Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9. The Son of God came and lived sinlessly, suffered at the hands of wicked men, was crucified, buried, and raised again from the dead. He's now reigning at the right hand of his Father in heaven, making intercession for you to overcome all and to reign victoriously with him forever. All suffering and trials and tears will be forever gone very soon. So enjoy them while you can, because he's going to wipe them all away. In Revelation 21 verse 4, also Hebrews 13 verse 14 tells us, for here, that is in this world that we're passing through, this is not our home, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come by him, that's Christ. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's Hebrews 13, 14, and 15. And as we close verse 20 and 21 of this same chapter, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you, we pray this over you right now, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.